Morning, Crossroads. This morning, we're going to be talking about outsourcing. Outsourcing the things we don't want to do. And for some of you, don't want to deal with teenagers. So outsourcing teenagers. Do we outsource or do it in-house? Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with the term outsource or what that means, it's when a business, they're really good at certain things and maybe other things they're not so good at. And so the idea is we're gonna hire out another company to do certain things for us that we don't wanna have to do as a company that we're not necessarily good at. And so just as an example of that, I'm gonna talk about grilling this morning because I love to grill. And so imagine that there's a designer who is a grilling enthusiast, and he decides, you know what? You know, there's problems with this grill, and there's problems with this grill, and when I flip a burger on that one, it falls off the grill, and so I'm gonna design my own grill, all right? And it's the perfect grill. It's the Grillmaster 3000, okay? And so this perfect grill, he's like, you know what? I love this so much, I think other people would love it. So he decides he's gonna go into the business, and he starts designing and producing and manufacturing these grills, starts selling them over the course of a couple of years. The company grows and it gets bigger and he has a couple of warehouses. Well, as the company's growing, it's more than just designing grills and production. You have to worry about marketing, because if he wants the business to grow, IT, shipping, distribution, human resources, payroll, taxes, all that stuff. Now, the thing is, he's not an expert on a lot of those things. He's an expert with grills. And so is he going to hire people to do the HR, to do the marketing, or in order to save money, I'm just going to have another company that specializes in human resources, that specializes in marketing. I'm just going to let them do all the things I don't want to have to worry about in my company, all right? And so that makes sense. It makes sense to outsource the things we're not good at, that we're not passionate about, that we're not interested in, all right? And also it saves money, all right? Now, some things he's not going to want to outsource, all right? He's not going to go to another company and say, hey, could you guys start designing new grills for me, for my company? That's his baby. Why would he have someone else design grills when that's his thing? Like, that's why the company's been so successful. He wants to be involved in the production of the grills, make sure the quality is there, all right? Now, with outsourcing, parents have the opportunity to outsource their children in every way you can imagine. As a matter of fact, if you have enough money and you want to be a parent, you actually don't have to do anything. There is an article here I have. It's called The Outsourced Parent. The hands-free, do-nothing, price is no object guide to rearing a child from conception to college. And so you don't have to do anything. And it lists all the things you can pay other people to do. It gives you a phone number and a person to contact and the price. The very first thing on the list is you can pay someone to have the baby for you. Paid surrogacy, $80,000. And that sounds crazy to you, but it's happened. There was a news story a couple months ago, there was someone with a good amount of wealth and she was busy sort of with her company and sort of expanding her company, and she didn't have time to be pregnant for 9 months. So she outsourced that. Now the thing is here, I'm just gonna read some of the things that you can outsource. So that's at least 80,000. You can get your kid to stop screaming at night. Actually, I'd like to use that one, right? So, all right, it's called Soho Parenting for $350. That seems worth it, all right? You can pay someone to teach your kid to stop sucking on their thumb, $4,300. You can have a live-in nanny, all right, for 17 years. That's $1,800,000. You can pay someone to potty train. You can pay someone to throw a birthday party for your kid. You can pay someone to buy gifts for your kid so you don't have to. All right, you can pay someone to teach them to say please and thank you and manners. You can pay someone to buy clothes. You can pay someone to teach your kid to ride a bike. You can pay someone to play catch with your child. All right, to take fishing, just to talk to. You can hire a life coach to talk to your kid. You can pay someone to help with homework. You can pay someone to take on college tours. You can pay someone to drive them everywhere. Now, right? That sounds good for some of you when you're driving them back and forth to school, driving them to sporting events, driving them to youth group, all right? So you can drive everywhere. And so for 14 hours a day for 18 years, that's $1,800,000. So I don't think any of us can afford that. But at the end of the day, if you don't want to have to raise your own children, it's going to cost you $4,184,000. It's just, it's funny that there's all these services available. And you know, now the reality is sometimes outsourcing with raising children, I mean, we do it all the time, and sometimes it's not necessarily a bad thing, all right? So for example, it's just a part of our culture. Like, if you have your child and the child wants to, you know, learn a musical instrument, let's say the piano, you don't know how to play the piano. You're not going to go and learn to play the piano so you can teach your child, so you outsource it. You know, you have someone else teach music lessons. Maybe you send your kid off for swing lessons. A lot of us send our kids off every single day to get educated, all right? We outsource education, and so we outsource so many different things. Now, I think maybe you know where I'm going with this. There's one thing you can't outsource. There's one thing you have to keep in-house, and that is the faith development of your child. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying you can't have other people involved in the faith development of your child, that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. What I'm saying is, in-house, it is the parent's absolute 100% responsibility. You cannot outsource that responsibility to someone else, all right? And so this morning, we're going to have Taryn Dale come up, and she's going to read scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them in your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols to your hands and bind them to your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
Now, really quick, I mean, really what it's talking about is parents sort of having the responsibility of teaching their children the scripture, the gospel, who Jesus is, all right? That's what the scripture is about. Now, if you're not a parent this morning, I want you to know this still applies to you, all right? Because being involved in any human relationship, if we know people who don't know the scripture, who don't know the Lord, it's our responsibility to communicate that to them, all right? So all of us in human relationships have some sort of obligation to share our faith in some way to someone else, all right? So it doesn't apply just from parent to child. However, that is what I'm talking about just now. And so the context for Deuteronomy is Israel has just entered the promised land. They're getting started. They're having this foundation of a nation. And a part of that foundation is Yahweh, the Lord. And God is saying there's going to be a temptation, because when you're in the promised land, there's going to be people all around you surrounding Israel that worship other gods. And if you're not diligent at teaching your children, again, all the time, when you're sitting and when you're walking and when you're rising and you're lying down, like all the time, like they will go astray, because there's going to be so many other voices around nation worshiping other gods, and they're going to hear those voices and they're going to sort of go astray. And so it's absolutely important to teach children. Now, what does that look like? The text is pretty clear what it looks like, all right? We need to teach them all the time, all right? But specifically, when you sit at home, all right? So, if you're not doing this, I want to challenge you to think about what this would look like, again, if you're a parent, to have a family devotion time. Right, just to have a family devotion time. You know, it's not that difficult. You know, when we went on a mission trip to Haiti, every single morning after breakfast, we just had a little quick devotion time. And it kind of got us ready for the day. You say, well, Jeff, we don't have time for that. Well, I'll tell you what, when it comes to scripture, you need to make time. Like, there's a lot of things we have time for. This isn't something you can say, you cannot not make a priority in terms of spending time talking about faith. During mealtime, again, that's another one of those times with all of the busyness of the family and all the, I mean, we're being pulled everywhere, that sometimes that mealtime just gets chopped, and maybe once a week we all sit down and have a meal. It needs to be a priority, because that is a phenomenal time to talk about school and to talk about life and what happened. Mealtime, when you're watching TV, actually, is a good time. You know, I love finding gospel truths and themes wrapped up in various movies and TV shows, all right? And so all the time when I'm watching TV, I'm looking for how does this relate to our faith? And to have conversations. I mean, if you're watching TV today for an hour, you're going to find something in that show to relate to faith and to talk about with your kids. Maybe having a game night. I don't know. But we need to find time at home to sit down with our kids or other people to talk about the faith. And maybe say that's not going to work for you well when you're walking along the road. That's another, there in the scripture it says walking along the road. Well, we don't do a lot of walking. We do driving. And again, we've talked about hiring a chauffeur to drive our kids around everywhere. All right, and so when we drive them to school, when we pick them up, when we drive them to a sporting event, when we pick them up to a music lesson, when we pick them up to youth group, when we pick them up, like over and over and over, we have time to be intentional in the vehicle. Those are times to have conversations. I'll tell you what, I want to challenge you. If you drop your kids off for probably not as much as the high school, a lot of them are driving now, but the ones who aren't, when you drop them off, or even with the middle school, when you pick them up, ask them what they learned. Like, ask them what they learned in youth group. Have those conversations with them. And then when you rise and when you lie down, so at night, when you go to bed, and in the morning when you get up, all the time, all day long, we always need to be looking for opportunities to talk to our kids about spiritual things and the gospel. A morning scripture time, a morning devotional time around the breakfast table to talk. Nighttime prayers. You can't let your kid go to bed without praying for them and with them. And then the text says, it also says to impress them on your children. Impress them. It means to repeat them, to teach again and again and again. You can't teach something just once and expect them to remember. All right, and a lot of you have maybe experienced this before if you've had a part-time job where you go in and you're going to be on the cash register, okay? And then you look at it and there's all these buttons, you don't know what any of them do, and someone comes along, your trainer, and okay, here's how you ring up the purchase and you push this button for this, you push this button for this, and they have a credit card, you push this, you scan this, you push this, and they go through this whole thing, okay, you ready? And then they leave and you're like, okay, and you're just really not sure what to do. So the first person comes in, you scan the items, you got that down, especially now that we have self-checkouts, right? You scan the items, and then you just freeze. Like everything you learned just isn't there anymore. How often, I mean, even in the lives of our students or our children, when they're going through certain things in their life, sometimes their minds are going to freeze. They're not going to remember what their parents taught them if they only taught them once, all right? So we need to get these things ingrained in their minds over and over and over. Constantly remind. But then also visible reminders. I always love the verse about tying them to your hands and to your foreheads. None of you should do that today, all right? Don't write something down and tape it to your forehead. But what you can do is you get on Facebook and put something up on your wall, some sort of scripture. All right. When you get out to your car, you can have Christian music playing in your vehicle. Maybe on your coffee table, your breakfast table, have a Bible sitting out right there. So if there's ever comes a need for a conversation, just pull the Bible. Or maybe you sit down with your cup of coffee and your kids are there, maybe just the Bible's sitting there, like just read a couple verses, you know. Make scripture and the Lord and Christianity available everywhere. Christian music in the car. Tweet something about the Sunday morning sermon. And there's so many different things through media that we have a way of communicating to our children. Now, the thing is, this is, again, not just parents of children, but in the context of any relationship we're in. Now, this is an enormous responsibility and a wonderful calling. And the verse there in Deuteronomy says, these commands are to be on your hearts. If faith, spiritual growth, ministry, evangelism, discipleship are not important to you, they are going to be even less important to your children. All right? And so wherever you are at in terms of your faith, chances are if you're not doing everything you can to teach, your child's going to be here. And then their kids are going to be here. And then generationally, pretty soon, they'll have completely forgotten the faith. And that's exactly what happens to Israel. That's exactly what happens to Israel. And the thing is, your faith has to be lived out, not just taught. Kids are going to behave as their parents behave. I'm always hesitant to say this. This isn't true across the board, but I've seen this almost like 9 or 10 years of kind of being involved in student ministry, all right? Now, it's not always true, but But I would say a majority of the time, the attitudes, actions, and behaviors, faith values of parents, like you see it in the students over and over and over. And I was just involved in student ministry for 2 or 3 years. And just the attitudes and behaviors, students are like, oh, like, you take after your mom, don't you? You take after your dad. Like, just an attitude. And so we are teaching our children and the people around us constantly just by how we live our lives. In order for your children to understand grace, mercy, forgiveness, and the people around us, we need to see those qualities lived out in our lives, all right? If we're not showing grace, mercy, and forgiveness and generosity to the people, but yet we're teaching that's what Jesus does, it's not going to make sense. Now, what if you're here this morning and you say, you know what? Jeff, you already said about outsourcing, and if it's something you're not necessarily good at, something you're not an expert in, maybe we should outsource it. So maybe you're here this morning, and Jeff, like, I'll be honest with you, I don't know a lot about the Bible. I don't know a lot about the scripture. I don't know a lot about the gospel. I'm not really all that involved in ministry, all right? What about that? I mean, shouldn't I outsource? No, you shouldn't. verse 12 of Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So in reality, some of us are maybe in the process of forgetting the Lord. Maybe some of you are here this morning and maybe this Christianity thing is relatively new, so you don't know a lot about the Lord. You're still sort of learning. And so if you don't quite feel equipped to share with the people around you or to share with your children or to be an example, get equipped. Regular church attendance is good. We have discipleship classes on Monday night. We have small groups during the week. There's ministry opportunities to get involved. As a matter of fact, I think this coming Friday, we're going to be serving with Network for Nations. Go and sign up after the service at the information counter. There's so many ways to get involved and to get equipped in the church through these ways. And what's really cool is even just you getting excited about your faith and doing these things is teaching your children that these things are important. So you don't even necessarily have to teach them. They just have to see you doing them. I remember, and it's funny, there's certain things that we remember. I remember seeing my stepdad sitting one evening reading his Bible. And he had done that for a couple weeks, and he was doing it in a way where I would see him doing it. I'm like, oh. I was like, oh, well, that seems like something we ought to be doing. And so I thought, I need to start reading my Bible. He didn't verbally teach me that. I just kind of saw it. It just happens. Now, in terms of the parents having the primary responsibility for raising their children in terms of knowing the Lord, and again, relationally, everyone we know, the church doesn't want to be involved, all right? That's why we have children's ministry and student ministries. And so, with the preschool kindergarten ministry, I love that because for me, when I was that age, that's the very first time I remember learning about Noah. And so I always tell the teachers, like, this is a phenomenal opportunity. You're teaching the Bible to children who have maybe never heard this story before. They've never heard about Abraham and Isaac and Joseph, perhaps. Like you can teach them for the very first time. And what's even more cool than that, being involved in that ministry, I mean, kids are starting able to comprehend things a little bit more and a little bit better. And in that ministry, you have the chance to explain the gospel to a 4 or 5 year old for the very first time. They may look back 20 years from now and remember that time when Jesus was talked about and the gospel was explained. That is so amazing. And so that's what we want to do in terms of our children's ministry. However, I'm going to be real honest with you. I don't want the preschool and kindergarten room to be the very first time your kids have heard the gospel. Because that's our job as parents. That's your job. I want them to have already heard about Noah. You know, what's really cool is when the kids move down to that classroom, we give them the Read With Me story Bibles. So parents can sit down and read the scripture to their kids. Also, just another example of that, I remember being at a church, and this was some time ago, so it's none of you, all right? Someone had come up to me, And she wanted me, and I was the pastor there at the time, she wanted me to share the gospel with, I think it was her great niece or maybe her great granddaughter, who's about 13 years old, wanted me to share the gospel with her. And I was like, absolutely. Like, I'll tell her about Jesus. I'll share the gospel with her. And the thing is, like, I want to say, well, hasn't she heard it yet? Like, she should have heard it already. And then I want to say, well, why don't you share that? I mean, coming from you, they had a good relationship. It would have been great coming from you or a mom or a dad or a family member. Like, now that she's 13 and been in the church her whole life, this shouldn't have been the first time she's hearing the gospel. I was more than happy to. But again, it starts in the home. It starts with the family. Now, I'm gonna jump ship a bit here. And we've been talking about outsourcing kind of parenting and sort of the faith development of children, or even outsourcing opportunities you have to share your faith with the people around you in terms of relationships. I'm going to jump ship a little bit here and transition a bit in terms of just when we want to outsource ministry, okay, when we want to outsource as a church, really, when we want to outsource ministry. And now when I say the church, I'm not talking about us as an organization wanting other people to do ministry. What I'm saying is you as individuals, as a part of the body, I think there's always this temptation to like you as an individual, as a part of the church, you're responsible to do ministry, all right? It's not just we let people around us do ministry. It is our job to be involved in ministry, all right? And to that point, we're going to have Katie Rivera come up, and she is going to be reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, going to be reading verses 11, 12, and 13.
It was he who gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of Son of God and become mature and attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
And so, yeah, so apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers have been given to equip his people for works of service. Now, some translations actually just says ministry, to equip people for ministry. Now, really quick, I want to say, what is ministry? Because we're getting equipped for works of service and ministry. I want to know what that is. And it's you as individuals, as Christians, becoming activated and using spiritual gifts, all right? To be active and engaged in using our spiritual gifts. Another thing I want to say about ministry, and this is going to be relevant for this morning, the purpose, the end goal and result of all ministry needs to be evangelistic and discipleship focused, all right? Everything we do as a church needs to be somewhere along the path of leading someone to a relationship with Jesus Christ and growing in their faith, okay? If it's not in some way pointing towards that, I just don't think it's this gospel-focused ministry. I mean, and even when Jesus says to go out and heal the sick in Luke, and by the way, when you're healing the sick, proclaim the kingdom of God. And so I think our ministry always needs to somehow be looking towards people coming to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that's the Great Commission, right? To go and make disciples of all nations. That's our calling as the church. Now, church, if you're here, maybe you've heard this before, as sort of the body, it's not a spectator sport, all right? And so, again, the idea that you would sort of come to church on Sunday and sort of take in some spirituality or something, and then leave, and then come back on the next Sunday, take something, like that whole sort of process, that's not what church is supposed to be. The body of Christ is supposed to be active and serving and doing ministry. And so really quick, I just want to ask you the question to think about, like, thinking about how you're involved in the church, your connection. Are you doing something in the church, in your life, out there, or somewhere that you're actually actively seeking for someone to come to know Jesus Christ? Like, is that somehow a part of your life? Because that's the ministry we're called to. And so Some older models of ministry is where the pastor does everything and the people just come in, enjoy it, and then go out. But like really, Ephesians talks about the people doing ministry, all right? So visiting the sick, caring for the poor, discipling, evangelism, it's not just the work of the pastor. It is the work of the pastor, but it's the work of all of us. All of us need to be active and involved in ministry. The Great Commission wasn't just for the apostles, right? It was for all of God's people. Otherwise, the church would not have exploded the way that it did. And I think sometimes when we're not involved in any sort of gospel-focused ministry that is seeking to, for someone to come to know Jesus Christ, I think what happens is boredom sets in. I mean, let's be real. How many people have come to church and just kind of been bored? Well, I'm going to challenge you in the fact that maybe if you're bored, it's because you're not involved in doing something of eternal significance. All right, just showing up on Sunday isn't enough. Like to be involved in some sort of gospel-focused ministry. The early church was so exciting in the book of Acts is because people are being added daily to the numbers of disciples, all right? People are joining the church, and just there's this excitement, and there's this energy, and I'll tell you what, I mean, when people start coming to faith in Jesus Christ and getting baptized, that's not boring. Like, that is absolutely exciting. Now, to be involved in some sort of, and again, this isn't something we can outsource. We just can't expect everyone else to be involved in evangelistic sort of ministry. We need to somehow be involved again in someone coming to know Jesus Christ. This is too significant to outsource, just like raising your children, all right? And so, the cost is too high to outsource it. At the end of the day, we believe that when people don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, have never put their faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, we believe that when they die, they suffer God's wrath in hell for eternity because of sin. Now, we don't like to think about that. We don't like to talk about that. We like to go and stick our head in the sand because we don't want to have to think about that, because as soon as we start thinking about that, it makes us responsible. I mean, think about two or three people you know. And again, this isn't a fun exercise. I don't like doing this. Think about two or three people you know who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Two or three people. When they die, they will spend an eternity in hell. We don't like to think about that because as soon as we think about it, it makes us responsible. We can't just sit on the sidelines and do nothing. We then have to do something. It makes us responsible. The cost is too high to not be involved in evangelism. And it may not be evangelism like you communicating the gospel per se, but sometimes it will involve that. But even the steps in terms of leading someone to that point. And also another reason we can't outsource ministry to other people in terms of bringing people to Christ is the reward is too amazing. The reward is too amazing. I've shared this before, but when I was in, some years ago, I was on a mission trip in Peru. And really the mission trip was all about going door to door and sharing the gospel and about Jesus. We were working through a local church there. And as we were going door to door, It was me and a translator and another person from the church that we were kind of training in evangelism, just to share their faith. So we're going door to door, and I remember we went up to a house, and we knocked on the door, and a lady came out. I think she was in her 20s, and started talking to her about the gospel a little bit, about Jesus and the scripture, and she actually seemed really excited. And I was excited about that, because to that point, most of the people we talked to are just like, okay, and then close the door on us. Like, they weren't actually interested in hearing what we had to say. This lady was actually interested. And so I'm talking to her, and she's kind of wanting to know more, and all of a sudden, there is a guy there, and he's yelling at us, telling us to get lost, because he didn't want us talking to her. And so she went back inside, and I'm like, oh. Like, I was so excited about her being excited about the gospel. And so this guy was pretty angry, and so I didn't think it was a good idea necessarily for me to go knock on the door again. So I'm just like, maybe she'll be outside sometime, you know, because we had been in the community, we'd been in the neighborhood, it wasn't really big, and so we were going to be walking up and down the street multiple times. And so this was the very first day. And so the first day, the second day, the third day, didn't see her, the fourth day, I'm like in prayer about this. I'm like, God, like, she needs to be outside so we can continue this conversation. And so we're going along all day long around the community, and I've gone by there a couple times, you know, coming back and forth for lunch, because it's pretty close to the church. Very last time we came back, I looked over and she's standing outside. That is a God, Holy Spirit moment. And so I went over there and I started talking to her, just continuing our conversation about the gospel. She was excited. I was there. I was like, I'm really excited to continue sharing about this. She put her faith in Jesus Christ that afternoon. When that happened, I said to myself, I can die right now and be absolutely happy and content for eternity, because I was just used by God. God used me to lead someone from hell to heaven. And there's been a couple times when I've been able to do that, and when that happens, like, I'm ready to go. Like, God's used me, and I'm done. I'm done with this life. I'm ready to go. Like, it's such a wonderful reward when you're able to lead someone to Christ. There's nothing better. So the cost is too high and the reward is too great to not be involved in some type of ministry that's seeking to do evangelism and discipleship. And you say, well, maybe, you know, just, Jeff, I'm not quite ready for that yet. That seems kind of scary. That kind of seems intimidating. Well, I'll tell you what, right now there's a ministry at the church, Crossroads, right now that you can be involved in. And one of the focuses of that ministry is evangelistic. It's discipleship focused. We want to have more and more opportunities to share the gospel with people, to share your faith, to talk about your faith, all of those types of things. There is a ministry right now that you can get involved in, and it's student ministry. All right? We always kind of expect to sort of outsource, maybe let someone else do that. But with student ministry, discipleship and evangelism can happen. We've had students. We had a student as soon as I got here. Had been coming to student ministry for a while. About a year or two later, she got baptized. It was an amazing, amazing moment. Being involved in student ministry, I've had multiple opportunities to share the gospel with students. And so if you want to get some experience sharing the gospel, if you want to share your faith, if you want to be involved in discipleship, student ministry. I'm going to be honest with you. Student ministry, and the thing is, like, unfortunately, you guys don't hear a lot about student ministry. I mean, the only thing you hear about is me talking about Nerf gun wars. And so on a Sunday morning, I'm like, oh, be careful, because you might have a Nerf gun bullet sitting around the chairs, or maybe a marshmallow. So you hear about some of that stuff, but you don't hear about the other stuff. You don't hear about the stuff that every once in a while, like, there's an amazing moment where God moves. It's student ministry. You don't really hear about those moments necessarily, but it happens. It happens. It's a phenomenal ministry to get involved in. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're not involved in any type of sort of ministry that's focused on discipleship, growing the faith, you have an opportunity to share your faith, to get equipped to share your faith even, and evangelistic, I want to encourage you to think about student ministry. I have a great time. Because you guys know me, I love to play games, but more than that, being able to share your faith, to share the gospel, and to see students get excited about prayer, to get excited about Jesus, or do something in their faith. It's an amazing, amazing moment. And so we cannot outsource the ministry to someone else. And so I just want to think about whether or not that's something you'd be interested in. And maybe you're not, maybe you're not. Maybe, you know, students, I don't know if I'd be able to relate to them. I'm kind of scared of them, you know, whatever it may be. If that's you, if there's even a small part of you that thinks you might be interested, and that sounds like something, come and talk to me. Come and talk to me. We'll find out. And the thing is, if it's not for you, well, that's fine. But maybe it is, and maybe you haven't really even thought about it before. No one is going to do what God has called you to do. So in terms of raising our children, in terms of being involved in ministry, in terms of sharing our faith, in terms of being involved in some sort of evangelistic ministry to reach people who are lost, to reach people you know, all right? No one is going to do what God has called us to do other than us. We have that opportunity. And so let's not outsource our responsibilities as Christians, but let's do it ourselves. So let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you for this morning. God, we want to thank you for the gospel. We want to thank you for Jesus Christ. You sent your son to die on the cross for our sins so we can have the hope of heaven, the hope of eternal life. And so, God, I just pray that this morning that you would just speak to our hearts and minds, that you would just make very clear to us that it's not okay for us to do nothing. But that we need to be involved in ministry. We need to be involved in reaching the lost. We need to be involved in making a difference for the kingdom of God. And not to pass that off to someone else, God. And so just convict us of that this morning. That if we're not serving and if we're not doing ministry, we need to, God. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.